Oh man. All right. How's it going, man?
It's going. It's going, man.
Yeah.
It is it hasn't been like a bad Monday. It's just been a very Monday kind of Monday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
the day was fine. Nothing wrong with it. It very much feels like it was the start of the work week.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, as similarly, like I'm one of the things I'm noticing too, not similarly, but like in how I can relate, is that like I'm realizing being an introvert requires a certain amount of like alone time to recharge, right?
Yeah.
But when you work from home and you have the kids and stuff, like, 'cause we had a kiddo sick, and so it was for sure a Monday, because not only did you have all of the work, you had managing a kid, you had all these other things, and I'm like, boy, like there's like a few periods throughout the day, like Kristen goes and picks up the kids, and I was like, ah, that's like 30 minutes where I can just be like, nope, not today, not today. So yes, it was a very Monday in every way, shape, and form. So I feel you.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit an intro and jump into it.
Welcome to the podcast, Blue Collar Scholars. Not long ago, a group of brilliant minds met together at a pub to discuss their unfinished works. They recognized the value of coming together around delicious beverages and having meaningful conversations. That group was known as the Inklings. The Inkledoo podcast here, we're working to be the second iteration of that group. So pour yourself a craft beverage, pull up a chair, and join the conversation.
All right, man. You had anything good?
I did. I had the so la this past Friday got together with some people and was at a place called Bottle Shop 48 out in the Tempe area.
Okay.
It's a cool spot, one of those places where it's, they've got probably 14, 15 things on tap, but they also have like a really good selection of like cans and a cooler and stuff like that. And you can either grab them to go, or they'll pop them open and pour them in a glass for you. And I did the Joe Max from Wren House, which is like the like a very heavily coffee flavored dark kind of stout. And
Really?
man, it was tasty. It was kind of like my last fling, my refusal to go quietly into that hot night.
Into summer, yeah.
And just like grab, I was like, no, you know what? I do. I want something dark and coffee flavored. And it was like late enough in the night where like the sun had kind of gone down. And so I could lie to myself a little bit.
Yep. You
And I'm
really can lie.
inside, where it's air conditioned and doesn't feel like it's 90 degrees outside. But it was really good, man. It is a really solid coffee flavored drink. Like, it was very coffee forward in the taste.
Nice.
Yeah, man, it was really good stuff.
So Wren House is supposed to be really good. I've only had one of their beers, and it was like their Pilsner something. So like it was good, but I'm like, Pilsner, like there's not a lot of distinctions between them. It's just whether it's good or it's bad, and that's its defining feature,
Right. When the good one is
So.
defined by how like kind of clean it is and
Yeah.
crisp and those kinds of things that are like almost
Same
more
everywhere.
feel and sensation rather than flavor. It's a little bit harder. I'm with you. It's a little bit harder for me to get super excited about it.
Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that there are others, because I mean people have been raving about them forever,
Yeah.
I got to try a new place this weekend. We went down to ASU for the Junior Sun Devils Club softball game. So we watched the ASU softball team get creamed. And then we found a place called 100 Mile Brewery.
Okay.
And so it's a new brewery out in Tempe, and it is tucked way back. It's like right up against the freeway. And so like you wouldn't know that it's there unless you were looking for it. And so and it was interesting to get back there. It was not easily located, but the food was really good, and the beer was okay. It was good. Like there was a couple of them, so I got an amber,
Okay.
And it was good. Like, it was good, but it was not the amber, not what I was expecting, a little more malty sweetness, and it was a little more roasty bitter, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So not what I was expecting in an amber, but it was not bad, right?
Hmm.
So if I hadn't screwed it up with my expectations, I probably would have. Like, once I shook it off a little bit more, I enjoyed it. And then I got Kristen a honey ale, and that one fell pretty flat. Like, it didn't have any honey in it at all. It was just kind of a beer.
Mm, okay.
For the most part. But the buddy I was with got the Hef, said he really liked their Hef a lot. And then his wife got a sour, and she liked it a lot. So I would say it's, like, if you're out there, it's a cool spot. Because, like I said, it's not, like, right on mill, like, loaded with all, like, there was family friendly. They had tons of games, so the kids were playing, like, card games and board games. And, you know, like, it was very family friendly for lunch, but then you could also see it being really cool, a really cool place to hang out in the evening.
Yeah.
As well. Like, it was a neat spot. So, and like I said, the food was worth going, and then the beers, not taking anything away from it. They've only been open for, like, a year, so I imagine they'll tune it up a little bit. They'll get a little better.
Sure.
You know.
Continuing to play with it.
Yeah, I think so.
Nice, man.
So, yeah, it was good to try something new, try a new place I haven't been to before. Like, that's one of those things I always have enjoyed doing. So, oh, man. All righty, then. So, I guess we kind of have a weird break because I'm doing another talk tomorrow, and I'm going to punish everybody by posting that as our podcast next week. So we'll start kind of this, like, I've been chewing on some concepts on, like, freedom and autonomy and how that all plays into, like, stewardship still, because that's still, like, the reoccurring theme that I really want to understand. And so I think I went to one extreme, and then now I'm understanding that that's not 100% right, and so now I'm looking at the other way, and I'm like, oh crap, and I'm trying to find the middle. And so what I wanted to kind of work through a little bit more was on the freedom aspect, and this is where, so this is kind of where the story comes in, like where I started working on it, is that it was when I wanted to write my next story,
mm-hmm.
which I thought I would have had done by now, and I haven't even started. Well, I started one because I forced myself, and I probably got, like, two good paragraphs and, like, three garbage ones. So I'll probably just scrap it and start over anyway.
All right.
So I was looking at it, and I'm like, okay, so I feel like, God, I have, like, these three stories. Like, which one do you want me to write? Like, which one do you think is the right one to do right now? Right? Because there's always, you know, my idea on stewardship was the idea, somebody used this analogy where it's like a kid coming up to dad saying, hey, dad, can I have $5? Taking that $5 to go buy him a Christmas present and to give him, so he's using his money to buy a gift to give to him.
Okay.
Right? And so, like, that's kind of like how grace works and how God's gifts work, right? Like, God knowingly gives us $5 so that we can go buy a cheap tie, wrap it up, and give it back to him, even though he knows the tie. Like, he knows, like, he, all of that thing. Does that make sense, that analogy kind of?
Yeah, so basically that idea that we don't have anything to give God that we haven't received from him first.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yes.
That tracks.
And so I was like, okay, that makes sense. So then I was like, so working through this, I was like, I'm really stuck between these two, three ideas. You know, which one, where should I go? And it was just, you know, radio silence. And it's been rocking my boat ever since, in all honesty. And that's where I kind of came to this idea where, like, I've never been the person where God is like, Brandon, go do this thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's just not been me. I've known people who felt very confident. They're always like, did you pray about it? And they're like, yes, I prayed about it. I know what I'm doing. And then they go do the thing. That's just not been my experience.
Sure.
You know? And so I feel like I tried to play that game and then it didn't work out for me. And so now I'm like frustrated. But then I'm realizing that there's, like, we've talked about it before, but I guess I'm reframing it a little bit more in the realm of stewardship and freedom. Because, like, the steward is always working in the house for the good of the master of the house, right? Like, they're essentially a servant, but they're also autonomous. Like, you don't hire a steward. They're not a servant. Like, a steward is somebody who is supposed to think and apply themselves.
Right. You're not a servant in the sense that you're not just there to follow orders.
Right. That's what I meant. Like, more like a slave. You're not just like a do this, like, have everything told to you. Like, you're supposed to act autonomously.
Right.
As a steward. And so now I'm sitting there going, okay, well, how do I make these two things work? Because there's a level of freedom. And I guess so I want to start there is like trying to understand what does it mean to be a steward and how does freedom play into stewardship? How do we reconcile those two things?
Well, I mean, so I'm not sure how much like reconciling is needed. You know what I mean? Like, because it's kind of one of those things where the whole concept of stewardship is built in trust. You know, that the master trusts the steward with these things. Which means that, like, yeah, the steward might ask for some rough guidelines on, like, hey, what are you comfortable with and not comfortable with me doing with this stuff? You know, the parable of the talents, you know, where, like, one's given 10, right. one's given 5, one's given 1. And, like, yeah, it would have been a good idea for the servant with the 1 to have asked, like, hey, so just out of curiosity, like, what are you actually hoping to have happened when you come back? And what are you hoping to have seen happen with your wealth that you're entrusting to me? But the only reason he would have needed to ask is because he was not actually ready or capable of being a good steward at that point. Like, the two who were ready and capable took it and were like, okay, cool. I am going to go and make use of this. And so the trust is two ways. Like, yes, the master of the house trusts the stewards to go and make good use of what they're given, but the stewards also trust the master. Like, the two who did what was right didn't act out of fear. The third one, the one who failed, did. He was terrified of what the punishment would be if his master's money was lost. The other two don't seem to have worried about that. Like, they were, you know, and this is me adding some stuff in that's not, like, actually specifically in there, but, like, they're aware that the 10 talents or the 5 talents that their master has given them isn't much in his big picture wealth. Like, if I lose these 10 talents trying to go out and use them well, if I make mistakes, the master's not going to be broke. Like, I'm not...
That was good. That was going to be my question. Like, do you think that there was a fear? Like, because you pointed that out, that it didn't seem like they had a fear. So, like, if they had lost it, you think they would have been like, hey, at least you tried? Like,
they had confidence that their relationship with their master would not be destroyed. Whether that is because they had that level of confidence in the investing they were going to do. Like, you know what? We have been trained. We know what we're doing. This is going to be good. I need to move forward with confidence. Uh-huh. Or whether it was confidence in the mercy of their master. But, like, somewhere along the line, either a confidence in the training they've received from their master as stewards or confidence in their master himself, they had a confidence where they were prepared to risk. The third servant, on the other hand, didn't. And, like, just hid the money so he could give it back. And, like, almost, there's kind of an awareness even. I love the details Jesus puts in on his parables. You know, like, this third steward, this third servant, it really is like he knows how badly he screwed up. Now, I don't know, you know, maybe he realized it when he watched the other ones coming back with having doubled the money. But, like, he tries to kind of Adam the situation. Like, put the blame on the master. Like, I know what a cruel man you are, that you, like, reap what you do not sow and all of this. And so I didn't want to lose your talent that you gave me, so here it is back to you. I buried it. Here is exactly your money back. As opposed to, like, yeah, I had no idea what to do with this money, so I hid it to make sure I at least didn't do any harm. But, like, there's an attempt to put it on the master. Like, it's your fault that I couldn't go out and use this money. And so, like, instead of getting, I don't want to get too hyper-focused on the parable, but, like, in terms of bringing that into what we're talking about here is that recognition that, like, being a good steward with the gifts that God has given us requires us to acknowledge his trust in us and for us to place our trust in him. Like, if I try to make use of these gifts and it doesn't work, do I believe that God is going to cast me into the fiery pits? Or do I believe that God is going to say, okay, so what did we learn? And, like, give me another opportunity. I am intellectually very confident that it's the second one.
Right.
Like, intellectually, I know that's exactly how it works. Experientially, I know that's exactly how it works because I've done it. I have taken things that God has given me and been like, yes, I know exactly what I'm going to do with this. Here I go. Ah, crap. But, like, I should know. And I should trust. I've got the experience to back it up. I've got the education to back it up. I have the wisdom that I've learned from others to back it up. But yeah, no, I still, when I, like, try to do something, it is not uncommon for me to, like, every half step turn and look back over my shoulder and be like, was that one good, God? Okay, cool. And then I'll turn around and I'll take, like, another little baby step and turn back and look. Still good? Am I still doing good? And, like, that fear, I think, is what gets in the way of the relationship between freedom and stewardship. So it's not necessarily that, like, freedom and stewardship are in need of reconciling and in need of being, like, harmonized together. They already are. But what I need is to be aware of what are my fears. What are they based in? Are my anxieties, like, the result of my spirit recognizing that I'm moving away from what I'm supposed to be doing? Or are my anxieties purely my human insecurities, fears, and doubts? And, like, trying to discern that stuff out.
Listen, like, those things don't need to be reconciled. It's basically we need to be reconciled. Like, it's relationship. Like,
that is a much more simple and concise way of saying it. And, like, I am both really glad that you phrased it that way and really mad that, like, you did it instead of me. Like, I'm gonna let it go. But not funny. Tonight.
So I do have one. So it makes me think of, and so I'm thinking of Paul, and I'm thinking I might be out of context. And so this is where I should have done a little bit better research, maybe having read the passage at least once before talking about it. But, you know, whatever. Here we go. But, like, there's that whole thing where Paul's talking about everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And I feel like contextually he's talking more about sin. Like it's kind of saying, like, hey, like, once you're free, like, you can still do crappy things, but, like, it doesn't benefit you in any way, shape, or form. And I'm wondering if I'm going out of context too far to you know, connect it to the stewards and the talents and kind of be like, you know, they trusted that everything was permissible. Like, they would be forgiven for everything. You know, but then they had the training, like, some things would be beneficial, but some things would not be. Am I way too far off base?
I don't think so. I think Well, and I think it's kind of one of those things too, where like the St. Augustine quote of, you know, love God and then do what you will. And like there's a kind of an implication in that statement. All is permissible, but not all is beneficial. There's kind of an implication there of like, yeah, no. God will allow you to do whatever you want. Like, you are completely and totally free to make your own choices. But just remember, being free to make those choices also means free to take on the consequences of those choices. And so, like, if you are truly free, like, free of your own desires as well as, like, free in terms of free will, you will do what is good. Because that's what calls out to our spirit at its depths, is what's good. But, like, yeah. No, like, go.
I like that, because it's not, because you're right. I'm out of context there, so it's not like, I was looking for, like, a way to have permission to test and learn, right? To screw up. Like, looking for the permission to be like, I tried it, I screwed up, but I'm not being tossed into the pit, right? But it's really more about, you just said it there, like, that you're completely free. Like, a steward in God's house still has full freedom.
Yeah.
Like, but then I don't know.
But
then
I don't necessarily
to, like, wrap myself up in.
I don't necessarily think, Christ though, and, that this is like an either or situation. Because I still think that it works for what you're talking about, too. Like, yeah, no. You are free to test it, but you're testing that for the reason that you are seeking to know what is good and seeking to do what is good. But unlike God, you don't know the outcome of this thing you're about to do. You know, you're limited in that. And so if I am not free to make mistakes, and I'm also not free to pursue the good. I'm not free to act independently.
Yeah.
I have to.
Well, and also,
I have to have that hope of forgiveness and that hope of redemption, even when I make a mistake. That, like, you know, the Lord will permit me to make mistakes, but will not permit me to make fatal mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not about. It's not about never making a mistake. It's about the idea that we will never make a mistake that takes us beyond God's reach to save.
Right. Well, and I like what you just said about not knowing the consequences of our actions, in that, like, we almost need God's reliability, like God's consistent justice, as the feedback loop. You know, it's like, that's data, right? Like, you almost got it, like, right when you were saved, like, you still do stupid crap, right? Like, you're still going to go do these things. You're like, well, can I get away with this? No, I feel guilty and shame for a really long time and it sucks. Okay, so I should do less of that, right? And so, like, you start to get the feedback that comes with it. You know, hopefully, you know, we apply that to our lives a little bit, but, yeah, that's. It's interesting to me. Like, I thought I had a nice connection there, but really it's, and this is where I struggle, because this is going to be a really stupid analogy. Like, I really hate open world video games, you know, like, where you can just walk around and do random stuff.
Yeah.
Like, no storyline. Like, I hate them, because I get in there and I'm totally free to do whatever I want, and I'll just sit there having no idea what I should do, run around for a little bit, get bored, and then throw the game away, right? Like, or take it back and get something that's more linear. And I feel like freedom is like that for me too. Like, when we have, like I almost wish God would just tell me what I want to, what I'm supposed to do, because then, like I'm really, I know this about me, like, I'm good when I'm pointed at something.
Sure.
Like, I've always said that, like, I'm the best number two. Like, if there was a visionary out there who needed somebody that they could just, like, point at something and then, like, freaking get it, like, that would be me, right? Like, when I'm pointed at something, I can go and make stuff happen. But, like, when I'm absolutely free, I get stuck and I don't know what to do. And this is where I like, I'm why I believe like there's some sort of reconciliation that needs to happen between freedom and stewardship. It's more that I don't know how to operate in freedom as a steward. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. But I think you're missing like something that I'm about to say something that might seem like kind of duh. But you do realize that the steward is automatically number two, right?
Right. Like, that's true. Yeah. Like, yeah. No, I mean, I get it.
Because I think that's...
From like a human's term, but yes. Well,
no, but like, I mean like even in this analogy, like God has pointed us at something. Now that thing isn't as specific as, you know, a very linear video game. Like it's not... There's not like a set series of objectives that have to be cleared along the way. And like, it's not going to cutscene you up to the next one when you complete this objective. But at the same time, man, like God has pointed you at things. And some of them are so big and so vague that it is kind of like I could genuinely just throw a rock in that general direction and I'm going to kind of hit it, but that doesn't mean I've succeeded because there are these specific spots that I could hit that would be amazing. And then there are some spots near that are still really good. And then there are some other spots a little bit further away that are still, you know, like there's range on the outcomes for us. But like part of being a steward is that we still need to know. Like, in order for us to accomplish what the master desires to be accomplished with the gifts given to us, we're going to have to know what the master desires to be accomplished. You know, again, I'm going to go back to the parable. Two of them knew without having been specifically told that, like, what the master was looking for was for them to make use of the money that he's given them. To make use of it, to multiply it, to yield a return on investment. The third servant didn't know that. The third servant just thought it was money that was given to him and must not be lost. Those are two very different understandings of the master's goal, and it shows in the results and it shows in the consequences. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't think that the reason the master punished the servant with only the one talent is purely because he didn't make money. It's because he didn't understand the will of his master and squandered an opportunity to do the master's will.
Yeah, let fear win.
And so that's where I think going back to what you were talking about is it is this idea of, and I know it doesn't actually give like a super clear answer, like, okay, cool, awesome. Tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But like the question to me becomes, okay, so then what is it that the master has given me? What is it that he desires to see done? And on a very broad interpretation, he wants me to do what those first two servants did. To recognize the gifts I've been given, and then for me to try and make use of them. Like you were talking about those five paragraphs you wrote, those paragraphs that you wrote, where two of them were good and then the rest of them were like garbage. And I don't know, you might believe that what that was is like those gifts being squandered or you not doing the master's will. And that's, I mean, it's possible. I don't know. I'm certainly not here to speak on God's behalf, but it also might be that those two really good paragraphs, those are two paragraphs that are going to lead to something. And those other ones were you getting some other crap ideas out of the way and working your way through stuff. Or maybe not. Maybe it was like this experience of frustration that is going to like eventually feed into something else. Or maybe not. Again, like I can't claim that I'm going to answer for you like what God desires of it. But that trust that we are called to have, and I guess this would be kind of, as we start coming towards the end here, my life lesson on it is God's trust in us isn't really in question. It's obvious by the fact that we continue to be given life and be given opportunities by him. His trust in us is beyond question just by the fact of our existence. And so for me, it's a question of my trust in God. How confident am I that if I am genuinely, sincerely seeking his will, he will make sure my efforts aren't wasted? Even when they feel like I've run face first into a brick wall, how much am I willing to trust God that, like, no. Yeah, it does feel that way. But here's what you didn't see, is that, like, the door is actually like a half step over. We're going to get you there, though. Uh-huh. You know, and so that placing my absolute confidence in him so that I can continue trying to move forward, not because I'm sure that I know what I'm doing, but because I'm sure that he does.
Right. Right. It's interesting. Like, through all of this, I'm sitting here having flashbacks to my, like, when I was being mentored by Kevin, and he kind of wrapped it all up. He's like, it's pretty simple, man. He's like, you love God and in his relationships. He's like, that is literally everything. He's like, if you can just do those, like, don't think about it. He's like, just love God and then go love people. He's like, just do that. And I was like, it can't be that easy, man. It can't be. It's got to be more than that. Because, again, that's still so ambiguous for me, even sure. though, like, I feel like I know the gifts that God has given me and that the ones that he wants, but I'm just, like, overcomplicating it, right? Like, and I'm like, it can't just be that. Like, I can't just be free to spend this money however I want and get not guaranteed returns, right? Like you got to want me to spend this money a specific way, right? Again, and this is probably like old training that's just stuck in my brain, but like wanting to do God's will, meaning that it's like being told what to do specifically. And I think that's something that's in my brain from just like my formative years that I got to rework a little bit in there. And ultimately, like I said, I was looking for an excuse or for like a reason that I could point to and be like, hey, test and learn, I screwed up. But it's okay. See this verse here. But, you know, through all of this and with going into my life lesson, it really is like the idea that God has pointed us towards something already is aggravatingly evident to me because you said that and I was like, no. And I was like, oh, yeah, love God, love your neighbor. Jesus kind of said it this kind of the and then go share with people. That's the Great Commission, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. I was like, that's pretty clear. I was like, freaking A. I knew it. I don't know why I'm arguing with it so much, but it, you know, coming into the life lesson, freedom is so hard. Freedom is hard for me. And recognizing the fact that we can overcomplicate it and that that's our self, that's not God, right? Like, we don't want to project our overcomplicating of things onto God and think that God is making it hard for us or not being clear to us when we're the ones kind of mucking up the water.
Yeah.
And so going back to basics, simplifying things, love God, love people, right? Just start there. Do those two things. And you'll find that probably at the end of that road, like if you just did those two things, however you did it, friggin' doesn't matter. Just do those two things. You'll probably hear something nice at the end of the line. Like you'll probably hear a well done, you know, mm-hmm. good and faithful kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, and I think, man, that's... I have this, like, massive tendency to confuse the word simple and easy. Mm-hmm. And, like, mm-hmm. what God wants of me is incredibly simple and far from easy. Like... what he wants me to do is to draw near to him and bring everyone with me that I can. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. And, yeah. like, he does give me a ton of freedom. Do I do that by teaching at a school? Do I do that by working at a parish? Do I do that by trying to write a book? Do I do that by being on a podcast? Do I do that by, I don't know, working in insurance? Like, do I, however I do that, as long as I do that, God's kind of disinterested. Like, not totally and completely. Like, don't get me wrong. There are definitely ways that are more fitting and more beneficial, going back to to that language from St. Paul.
Better to return 10 talents than 5.
Yeah, absolutely. There are some that are better. But ultimately, all of them, if that's what I'm doing, are good.
Right.
And so, like, I need to not overcomplicate things. I need to not make perfect the enemy of good. Mm. Like, the fact that I'm not doing everything perfectly is not an excuse to not do anything at all.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's that fear thing again, right? Like, being willing to just do something good, even if you suck at it, type of a thing. Like, it's okay. Like, you're not going to get tossed out. Like, it's better to invest that talent and try than let fear win and you bury your gifts. And then you get to the end and God's like, I gave you all of this, and you just put it in the dirt, you know,
just dug a hole and hit it.
Yeah. I like that. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, I know I threw kind of a curveball at you, like this wasn't exactly what was on my outline, and then I changed it up on you, but this is what we're going to be kind of working on over here for a while, is freedom and stewardship and agency and things like that. So stick around. Like I said, I have my second talk tomorrow. I'm feeling better about it. I'm going to go in a little more loosey-goosey and not so nervous, and I'm hoping it'll go better, and we'll post that one, and then we'll get back into this topic for a while. So, got anything else on your brain there, man?
Nah, man, I'm good.
That all right on? That we will say.
Adieu.